If asked about their perceptions of inpatient behavioral health services, many people may describe bleak images from movies or other media in which patients are retained in prison-like environments, dressed in stain-covered hospital gowns, and medicated to the point of near catatonia. These images have contributed to inpatient mental health services becoming highly stigmatized and considered as an option reserved only for those experiencing acute states of psychosis. However, the goal of this presentation is to correct misconceptions about inpatient mental health services and to provide you a better understanding of why inpatient behavioral health resources are a critical component to any comprehensive behavioral health access program. We hope to achieve this goal by reviewing the levels of care as set forth by the Behavioral Health Access Program Framework and reasons why each of these levels matter. Afterwards, we will review the steps for growing your organization's Behavioral Health Access Program and the special considerations that should be made when doing so. As this module pertains to inpatient services, particular focus will be paid to those considerations relevant to this level of care. You will be provided helpful information regarding the qualities to look for in an inpatient service provider, as well as suggested questions to ask when conducting your own vetting process. In conclusion, we will discuss the best practices for supporting a member who has been recently discharged from inpatient behavioral health services, and why this follow-through is so incredibly important to not only the well-being of the member, but the organization as a whole. In this illustration, provided courtesy of Second Alarm Project, a comprehensive behavioral health access program is conceptualized as a pyramid. Each layer of the pyramid facilitates and supports the adjacent layers. Additionally, all layers are flanked on each side by the crucial elements of policy development, planning and implementation, and research and evaluation. Though we won't go into each layer of this framework in detail, it is still helpful to understand the broader structure of a behavioral access program to provide perspective on why each of these layers is important to the health and well-being of first responders. When looking at this framework and the implications that it may have for your organization, we encourage you to consider each layer of the pyramid as a layer of care that can be provided to meet the behavioral health needs of your members. At the bottom of this pyramid is education. It may not be obvious at first as to why education is considered a level of care. However, we make the argument that education is the primary method by which we can care for our first responders, because it is at this level that we have the greatest ability and responsibility to normalize mental health as human health, a state of existence universal to us all. Additionally, education is highly adaptable to the needs of your members, depending on their roles, ranks, and other classifications. Furthermore, it increases general awareness of the effects of first responder service on mental health, as well as the avenues for support. Providing your members the foundational knowledge and skills relevant to them increases the likelihood that they will be able to successfully identify mental health concerns and then navigate your organization's behavioral health access program to meet the need, whether that need be theirs, a family member, or a fellow first responder. Ultimately, education equals empowerment, and empowered first responders are capable first responders. The next level of care that we will review is peer support. Just as with every other level of care within the behavioral health access program framework, there is a specific toolkit module dedicated to the more in-depth exploration of peer support. We encourage you to access that module if you are interested in learning more about the nature of peer support, why it is an imperative asset to any behavioral health access program, and ways in which to build or strengthen your organization's peer support team. However, for the purposes of this presentation, peer support is best explained as connection. More so, it is connection through shared life experiences. Often, members may find it difficult to share their mental health concerns with a family member, friend, or even a medical or mental health professional for fear that the person they are confiding in will not understand. With peer support, the difficulty that members experience is alleviated as they are sharing their concerns with another first responder. Therefore, they are sharing it with somebody who is likely to relate with what they're going through. Peer support members serve as invaluable resources to their fellow first responders. In their work as a peer supporter, they provide members a safe, judgment-free space in which to openly discuss their thoughts and feelings. They can take the raw and very real reactions that first responders have to various stressors and help them make sense of it through a lens of compassion and strength. They can help that member feel validated and restore their sense of self-agency. Perhaps most importantly, they can reinforce the normalization of mental health and first responder service and, if needed, guide the member to higher levels of care. As mentioned previously, some of the content from the Outpatient Services module of the Toolkit is included within the presentation, as both require a base understanding of the same core behavioral health concepts. More so, we will later include a side-by-side comparison of outpatient and inpatient services. As such, we will not belabor much on this level of care here. The key thing to remember about outpatient services in the broader context of the Behavioral Health Access Program is that outpatient services are the first level of care at which members will seek professional behavioral health services. It is possible that, with a comprehensive and effective behavioral health access program in which members are provided strong support systems, foundational education, and early interventions, many members may never need to access professional mental health services. However, if they do, we must emphasize the importance of connecting your members with culturally competent providers who are appropriately qualified to work with first responders. First responders face unique stressors due to the nature of their professions. Not all mental health care providers are capable of meeting their needs with both empathy and evidence-based interventions that will aid them in overcoming the mental health challenges they deal with. For more information about how to grow your outpatient services network, particularly when it comes to vetting potential providers, please refer to the Outpatient Services module. We have now reached the highest level of care, inpatient services, which will be the primary focus of this presentation. Though it is likely that few members will require support at this level, it is nonetheless an essential aspect to any comprehensive behavioral health access program. Inpatient services are typically reserved for members experiencing the most acute behavioral health concerns. Those concerns can include, but are not necessarily limited to, intent to die by suicide or substance use severe enough to require medical detox. Though there is a strong argument to be made that the other levels of care, including education, peer support, and outpatient services, are immense protective factors that may help prevent a member's mental health concerns from elevating to a degree requiring inpatient mental health services, these levels of care are not typically best for members actively dealing with concerns of this gravity. In what follows, we will discuss other important aspects to inpatient services, including how to determine when inpatient services are appropriate, special considerations to make when growing your inpatient network, and best practices for supporting a member who has recently discharged from inpatient services. Throughout the toolkit, you will notice that there is a strong message about how important behavioral health is in saving lives. As we learned in the preceding review, each level of the BHAP provides different knowledge, resources, interventions, and prevention strategies to help improve mental health and reduce death by suicide. Given this, each level of care is necessary and important. It is at this inpatient level, however, that we can provide the most direct support to members who are experiencing the most critical needs. As first responders often transport individuals from the community to inpatient behavioral healthcare facilities, they are typically familiar with the providers and programs offered within their local area. Though this awareness may at first appear to be a benefit to members experiencing a critical mental health concern, it can serve as a significant barrier to care. Quite simply, members are reluctant to share their personal mental health concerns with the same providers with whom they have already established professional relationships. Though this is understandable, we know that inpatient facilities are a useful tool in the fight to save lives, especially in times of crisis. Thus, having these services vetted and ready for your members is imperative.